Well, snowflakes have been falling a lot recently, and a chill is definitely in the air. But you can warm the hearts of the ones you love with a sparkling gift from J. Brown Jewelers. This Valentine's Day, show her just how much you care with a scarlet red ruby, a diamond heart pendant, or pink sapphire stud earrings. It's never too late to start a Valentine's Day tradition that will blow her away. And no better New Year's resolution than to show your loved ones just how much you care with a personal gift as special as jewelry. J. Brown Jewelers Intimate Showroom has the largest inventory of fashion jewelry, Swiss timepieces, diamonds, and Judith Lieber handbags. You're bound to find that perfect gift that will make them smile. And you don't have to spend a fortune to find him or her that something that will knock their socks off. They have jewelry at J. Brown that will suit every budget and a knowledgeable staff to assist you for a most personal experience. At J. Brown Jewelers, you're always able to buy a gift of white gold, yellow gold, or rose gold for a price of a comparable piece of designer silver jewelry. Unprecedented discounts are always applicable to all the inventory this winter, so visit J. Brown Jewelers. Don't wait any longer and see why they have a reputation of having the most unique luxury jewelry around. J. Brown Jewelers of Pikesville. Find a treasure of a lifetime just one block north of Bellway Exit 20. Sportsline here on a Wednesday, a tag team Wednesday. Brett and Q, Mr. Ismail.
Bruh, I am telling you, we need to have the trifecta or the quad because we got to include Tamara, the navigator, in this because I'm sitting there thinking, oh, I'm going to have a nice, smooth ride down to the studio. Oh, heck, to the gnaw. No, I'm not. Woo, when you see how quickly the navigator navigates you around town, you come to appreciate. So, Yeah. I am here and ready for action.
That's a shout-out, Tamara, if you're wondering.
Shout-out.
Anyways, we have a very special guest joining us right now. Long-time NFL writer and observer, John McClain, who's joining us from Super Bowl week in New York from the Houston Chronicle. John, thank you so much for coming on the program.
It's my pleasure, as always. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's been an interesting week, I guess, from a Ravens perspective, looking towards the Texans over the last near decade, really, with Gary Kubiak coming to Baltimore. Your impressions of Gary transitioning out of a head coaching job back to being a coordinator?
First of all, I think it's a great move for Kubiak, Rick Dennison, and Brian Perriani, all of whom are really good coaches. The Texans, even when they were bad, as bad as they were last year with quarterbacks falling apart, two starting running backs on injured reserve, Pro Bowl tight end on injured reserve, they still were 10th in offense. And Kubiak knows how to move the ball. It all starts with a running game. And we lost Arian Foster and his 17 touchdowns, and then his replacement, Ben Tate, had four cracked ribs, and he played as long as he could. They didn't have a running game. Therefore, they didn't have an offense. And go back to when he was first coordinator in 1995. He was coordinator for 11 years in Denver. They had a bunch of different players who rushed for 1,000 yards. He quarterbacked. It was easy when he quarterbacked Coach Steve Young in San Francisco, John Elway. But he also coached guys like Bubby Brister and Jake Plummer and Brian Greasy and guys like that. And then he came to Houston, David Carr 1 year, Matt Schaub the rest. So Gary's a really good coach. He's always got good offenses. They always ranked high. And the thing is, when they won their back-to-back division titles and a playoff game each year, they led the NFL in average time of possession. And he used three-step drops, five-step drops, seven-step drops. They used everything. They weren't just a three-step drop. Fling it for crossing routes like the West Coast system. That's not who Kubiak is. He evolved from strictly West Coast quarterback coach and coordinator.
When you look at what Gary has done, and it is pretty impressive looking at his resume and the success of his staff, you know, how would you describe it in the standpoint of people would think, okay, it's about, you know, the bootleg action, obviously off of the run action with the zone read and the quarterback booting outside the pocket or the naked or the waggle action with the deep crossing routes. Is it just as simple as that? I mean, how from that evolution, from that just that West Coast into more of a complex scheme or a scheme that, I should say, puts you in that top 10 consistently year after year?
Everything, he wants to be in the top 5 in rushing every year. That's his goal. And if you can't run, then it puts a lot of pressure. When they couldn't run this year with two top backs being out, at one point they were forced to start their fifth-string running back because everybody else was hurt, and that kid wasn't even on the team when the season started. Then if you can't run it, then you don't do the bootleg because nobody buys the play fake. And Matt Schaub is one of the slowest. He's slower than Joe Flacco. And if Matt Schaub, every time when their offense worked well, and you saw him beat the Ravens 43-13 in 2012, and then the Ravens bounced back and won this year, which started the downfall of the Texans. But when you did see him run the bootleg, it was off the and it was wide open. You have two back, two receivers. You have a tight end cutting across, and you have a wide receiver like Andre Johnson cutting across. And Matt Schaub didn't have a great arm like Flacco, so they didn't throw the deep ball that much. They would try it, but they just weren't very good at it. And the players are going to benefit the most. Flacco will love working with Kubiak. I've talked, interviewed quarterbacks he worked with in Denver and Houston, and they respect him. He's tough on them, but they respect him. He'll never embarrass them. He takes the blame. He never throws his guys under the bus. Tight ends. Dennis Pettis right now should re-sign because puts the bonuses in there for catches and touchdowns, because when they're in the red zone, specifically inside the 10, if they're inside the 5, they're going to hand the ball off. Ray Rice, I love it because Arian Foster had 17 touchdown passes, touchdowns in 2012, led the league, had 15 rushing. They always run the ball down there, and they love to use the play fake and throw the tight ends. He and new tight ends coach Brian Perriani will have three tight ends on that roster who can catch, because in 2012, they used two tight ends more than anybody in the league. And they play four wides too, but the Kubiak in New England loves to use multiple tight ends. And those guys will benefit. And because of the linemen, they already use the same blocking scheme. It's an offense that's going to work. He will tailor it to what Joe Flacco does well. And because he's going to have Torrey Smith, who was faster than any receiver he had in Houston, they'll still throw deep. It looks to me like they may be getting another skill position player. But tight ends don't have to be high picks. Owen Daniels, fourth-round pick. Garrett Graham, fourth-round pick. Ryan Griffin, sixth-round pick. All those guys play really well. So Kubiak and Perriani, they know what they're doing when it comes to tight ends in that system.
Interesting stuff from John McClain, the Houston Chronicle. John, we already have to hit our break. We could have gone a lot longer, but enjoy the rest of your Super Bowl week.
Outstanding information.
You guys too. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Goodness, Q, there's so many more questions I had for him.
I'm telling you, but he's so
thorough. So much there.
So much as far as the nuggets of information. Oh, awesome.
So much there. Well, when we come back, we'll get your take on Mr. Kubiak. Much more still to come here on Sportsline.